Reading today is Romans 3, verses 21 to 26. And it is found in the Pew Bibles in page 1130. In this particular Bible, it is subtitled Righteousness Through Faith. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Josefina, thank you very much. Well, it's lovely to be here. Greetings for everyone at St. Ethelburga's. If you've got a Bible and you want to keep it open at that bit of Romans 3, do, because that's where we're going to be spending our time this morning. Shall I pray for the Spirit of God to come and speak to us today? Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to look at this bit of your word, that your Spirit would come and teach our hearts and our minds. Lord God, we long to understand the cross more deeply. So please, would you speak to us, convict us, transform us for your glory. Amen. Well, if you're new or visiting, welcome to St. Matthew's. And today we're in the second week of a four-part series looking at the cross. It is Lent. It is a season when we're focusing on that great symbol of the Christian faith. If you were here last week when I introduced this series, you would have sort of heard me introduce it by thinking, actually, this is a very strange thing. The cross is a Roman form of execution, and yet it is the symbol of everything that we believe. Our hope as Christians is rooted and grounded in the cross. We wear crosses as necklaces, as earrings. We build buildings in the shape of it because we believe here is where our hope is found. In this series, I want to talk about four words that explain the cross. They all come together to explain all that Christ has done for us. Redemption, that was last week. Justification, that's today. Next week, adoption. And the week after, reconciliation. And my prayer and hope is that we'll just understand more deeply all God has done for us. We're going to be confronted by our sin, yes, but most of all, we're going to meet the love and grace of God. Last week, in our baptism service, we had the theme of redemption. These were the points I made, just to remind ourselves. The Bible says that we're all slaves to sin and an empty way of life. That's a slavery that we're all stuck in. But Jesus came. And at the cross, he died. He paid the ransom price to set us free from being slaves. And that freedom was bought with his blood. Now, after last week, you might be thinking, how did Jesus's death buy our freedom? And that leads us on to today and justification. Now, you might be thinking, what does that word justified mean? Justification means to be declared righteous. Actually, to be declared not guilty, to be declared holy, blameless, in right standing So in other words, Jesus Christ died so that we might be declared righteous. Now let me explain more about what this is. If last week the big image was the slave market, today the image is the law court. There's a couple of pictures on the screen. There's Hastings Law Court, and then there's the Old Bailey. I don't know how many of you have ever been to court. Some of you know I used to be a solicitor. I hated going to court. I generally did commercial law, so I didn't have to go very often, but I just dreaded it. I just found judges very scary. Once got told off one for taking my coat off. I was like, no, I took my jacket off and my suit. And it was like, no, you keep your jackets on in court. They're just horrible places. I remember when I was 16 and I did some work experience and I went to Slough Magistrates Court. I spent a week there and I got to see sort of all behind the scenes. But I remember basically sitting and watching criminal trials for the first time and people get up in the dock and most people sort of got a fine. But I remember one guy, he was sentenced to prison, probably the first time he'd ever gone to prison. He had to stand up and he was clearly wasn't expecting a prison sentence and he was sent for 3 months or something. You're guilty. 3 months, take him down. And you should have seen this guy's pale face as the dock officers took him down. Now, why am I talking about law courts? Because one of our convictions as Christians is that one day God is going to judge. That's what the church has believed and what the Bible teaches and has done forever. That one day each one of us will have to face God on his throne. Let me just ask, how do you feel about that? The prospect of facing God on that final day? Can I tell you, if you're trusting Jesus Christ, you've got nothing to worry about. But why? Why have we got nothing to worry about? Because of the cross. Because of what Jesus has done for us. The Bible says that if we're trusting in Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation, nothing to fear on that final day. Jesus will say, just as he did to the thief on the cross next to him, today you will be with me in paradise. In other words, we will be with the Lord in eternity because of the cross. How is that possible? Well, I believe Romans 3 gives us one way of seeing very clearly all that's going on. Here's the problem. The Apostle Paul says it. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Verse 23. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is the Bible's diagnosis of the human condition. We're all sinners. Jesus is really clear. Where every person is to love God and to love others, we all fail. No one is perfect, not even one. Now, if you know the book of Romans, you'll have seen that Paul's been mounting an argument for three chapters. Let me just give you some potted highlights. He begins in chapter 1 by saying that God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen. As we look out in the world, we're to conclude that there is a God behind it. I often have this conversation with people exploring the Christian faith. Are we saying that this world is random chance? It just happens to be molecules clacking around, and then there was the Big Bang, and then suddenly everything we see here just appeared out of nowhere for no reason. See, I think if we're honest, we know that's not true. And the Bible says that's not true because there is a creator. It's God, and he's made himself known. The problem is with the humans is we suppress that truth. We push God out. We pretend it doesn't true, so we come up with atheism. Paul also says that God makes himself known in our consciences. Why do we believe that there's right or wrong? A kind of sense of morality. We've all got it. Where does that come from? If we're just clacking molecules, why do we have a sense of right or wrong? At the moment, you look out in the world and people talk to me about justice. We're just clacking molecules. Why do we care about justice? Well, the Bible says it's because we've made in the image of a God who cares about justice. The problem is, when we think about justice, We know there's injustice in the world. We see it out there. We see those who are downtrodden and treated horrendously by those in power. We see it. But then we realize that we too can act in unjust and sinful ways. See, the Bible's teaching is that we've all fallen short. We're not all Hitler. There's wonderful glimpses of good in our world. But ultimately, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is the Apostle Paul's diagnosis of the human condition. But, and this is the good news, there is a solution. Jesus Christ was punished as a sacrifice for our sins. Have a look at me, verse 25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Now, this word punishment is not very popular. If you go to school, we don't use it. Consequences. Your consequences of talking in class is a detention. It's not a punishment, it's silly, really. The answer is it's a punishment. If you do something wrong, there's a consequence, a punishment. See, it's one thing doing it in class, but let's see it in the context of the Lord God, the one who made heaven and earth. One day we're going to stand before his throne. And none of us are going to sit there and say, yeah, I did everything right. I made a great choice every time. I loved you, God. I loved others. I never had a bad thought. We're all guilty. We all deserve the consequences and the punishment. But here's the solution. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. Literally, the word in Greek is propitiation. And it's a word used in the New Testament to describe the pacifying, placating, or appeasing of the wrath of God. God's wrath is poured out on Christ rather than on us. Jesus takes the punishment we deserve. Jesus takes the consequences we deserve. And how did he do it? Through his blood. As Christ's blood was shed for us, we are forgiven. If you're here today, can you just hear this? Whatever mistake you've made, whatever bad thought you've had, Jesus died for it. He was punished so that we might be forgiven. I was thinking about how to illustrate this, and I'd gone back to an old school youth group illustration. Sorry if you're under 20, you might not know about DVDs. Here they are, there's two of them. One is Our Life. We used to do this. If I was to put up on this screen a DVD of all your thoughts, of all the way you've behaved, would you like to stay and watch it? I'm out the door. The problem is, we're all full of sin. But here's what happens at the cross. Jesus, now, if Jesus' life was perfect, we read that in the Gospels, he never sinned. Oh, watch his life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record it gloriously for us. And when he dies on the cross, Jesus takes our sin and the consequences of punishment we deserve, and his perfection is given to us. So as we trust Jesus Christ, he doesn't see our sin, he sees Christ and his perfection. Friends, this is why the cross is the symbol of Christianity, because it's there that it's possible to have what we're going to learn in a minute, adoption and reconciliation and forgiveness. The question is, how do we receive this? We're justified through faith. Have a look with me, verse 24. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. All are justified. How are we declared righteous? By his grace, by his love. This is a gift. It was Hannah's 15th birthday this week. We bought her some presents, what parents do. We didn't buy her a present because she packed the dishwasher, tidied her room, done some cleaning at home, washed my car. No. We gave her a present because we loved her. The Bible says that God is giving us a great present. Forgiveness. reconciliation, adoption, redemption. This is not just some clothing from Team Mango. This is the gift of life. And how do we receive it? Have a look at those verses. Verse 22, this righteousness is given through faith. Verse 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. In other words, as we trust Jesus Christ, that's all we need to do. We are forgiven. Do you know that gift of forgiveness that is offering each one of us? We don't earn it. It's a gift. Many of you here have known this gift for years. Can I ask you, let's treasure this gift again today. Let's remember again all Christ has done for us, the extraordinary nature of his love, that God himself came in his Son, Jesus Christ, died so that we can have forgiven and brought into the family, have the hope of eternal life. And if you're new here and you're exploring the Christian faith, do you want to know more about this gift? If so, come and talk to me at the end. Come and do the 3-2-1 course. I'd love to tell you about the gift that God is offering you in Jesus. The greatest gift ever offered. And it's free. And it comes in Christ. So here we are. Justification. The problem? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The solution, Christ was punished as a sacrifice for our sins. The result, we're justified through faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Friends, we have such good news. For a broken and hurting world, this is what we're offering, the cross of Christ. No wonder the Apostle Paul said he sought to know nothing when he was in Corinth apart from this. In Jesus, we're redeemed. In Jesus, we're declared righteous. We're justified. And next week, we're going to go deeper again. We're adopted. If it's felt quite transactional, that's true. But next week, we're going to see we're brought into the family and have the privilege of being heirs. Let's praise God for the cross and all Christ has done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. We're sorry for our sin. And we're so thankful that Jesus died for it. Took the consequences, punishment we deserve, bore the wrath that was rightly deserved so that we might be forgiven. And thank you that it's a gift. May we treasure this gift. May we treasure the Lord Jesus very deeply, now and always. Amen. I invite our singers.